to briefly reiterate that we're just going to move through our five presentations without question periods because we have an open discussion forum that we're holding at the end of all of the presentations. So I'll let you do it, Mary. Your coin. I don't know where it is. I'll find it. Is yours? So our next two presenters are Mary Lynn and Candice de Mullen. Candice, she's done a change of name. Just to fool me. You're on your own. I just want to quickly remind you that there are also handouts for quite a number of the presentations on the table at the back of the room. Thank you.
Oceana God, Ostako Eeg, Though you know the league don dago hata, Kindesatihi, Dagodo Yone, Seal War, Dagodo Jalog, Gijalagi, Aniuhai, Ale, Mary Lynn, Dide Yohusk. Hello, everybody. I'm very happy to see you all. It's a good day. My name is Kindesatihi. My Cherokee name is Seal Woy. I'm a Cherokee person of the Wolf Clan, and this is my teacher, Mary Lynn.
And thank you very much for inviting us, the panel and the university here, and the Hawaiian people as well, for having us here. I'm honored to be able to do part of this. I asked Kira and the former president of Ola, Kindesa is the current president, if I could, you know, help out with this. So let's get going. Oklahoma is really a little different. I just give you an overview. We have different programs. I'm going to give a historical program and then move into the Oklahoma Native Language Association, and then Candace is going to talk about the future of Ola a bit. But a little bit of background on Oklahoma. It's very diverse, the state is. There are officially 38 recognized tribes. There's 39 to 40, 41 languages. It depends on how you do it. But this gives you an idea. But not only are these different languages, these are culturally very, very different people. There's people that were removed from the southeast. There's people that were removed from the Great Lakes areas. There are the original Southern Plains peoples. There are Northern Plains people that were moved down as well. So Oklahoma is not just linguistically diverse, it's very culturally diverse as well. But everybody had a common need about a clear understanding of the structure of language, the specific knowledge regarding the process of first and second language acquisition, experience with available range of language teaching methods and techniques, ways to develop instruments and assessment, and practical skills in curriculum and materials development. Just basically the needs that everybody is familiar with. The Oklahoma Native American Language Development Institute was a grant written by Akira Yamamoto and Carl Downing, who is Cherokee, and from the University of Central Oklahoma in Edmond. And it was patterned off of ALDE in many ways. It was an intensive all-day, Monday through Friday, for 1 month in June, over three summers, and everybody lived in dorms. And we met at UCO at first, and then we moved over to the ICWAI, which is a Kickapoo acronym for the Kickapoo Preschool in Hera, Oklahoma. And to give you an idea... we don't have a really pointer. Oh, I could use this. Is this hooked up?
No, it's not.
Edmond is right under the A in Oklahoma, and we would drive from Shawnee, if you see under the O in Oklahoma City, every day. It was a kind of an interesting setup in that way. My first job was actually a bus driver. Okay. As I said, it was based on the ALDE model. There was graduate and undergraduate credit from UCO for over the summers, a total of 24. There were progressive three courses in linguistics for Native American communities, and you can read these. And I apologize. I had to leave off all of these names because it's already too long. But anyway, we had really amazing people teaching these classes. Pat Kwachka taught the acquisition and development. Akira taught the linguistics for Native American communities. We had many guest teachers over the years. So, I told you there was a picture of you. One of the things ALDE did that was a little bit different than ALDE Onaldi did, was that it included a linguist mentor for each group. So it was really kind of, I think, one of the original kind of mentoring ideas. These created long-lasting relationships that produced some significant documentation. Probably the most significant documentation that came out was Jack Martin and Margaret Malden's collaboration. But as you see, Julie Gomez de Garcia is there, and she has been continuing to work, not in Oklahoma, and her daughter, who was there at... guessing she was like 11 or 12 at the time, is working in communities now as well. And I certainly got my start here. Onaldi was really focused on materials development. This is something that Akira really really wants to do and has fun at, and everything we did, anything we learned, we applied immediately to materials development. Okay. We had an artist on staff, which is really great to have a Native artist. So if we weren't very good ourselves, we had somebody to rely on. Another really unique thing about Onaldi was the place in learning. ICWAI was Indian-owned and staffed. It was really created a safe and comfortable environment. It was really group-oriented instead of classroom teacher. It wasn't really didactic in that way. Everybody worked in groups. And it was just a really wonderful, comforting learning environment. Onaldi training really filled this void. Before that, there was nothing, just like in Arizona, there was nothing in Oklahoma. It responded to the needs of the Oklahoma Department of Education, who in the early 90s, it was actually late 1980s, included Native American languages to fulfill world language requirement in the public schools, but there were no teachers to fill these to do this. It also responded to the Native American Languages Act and subsequent ANA funding for language programs. So tribes couldn't go for that funding because they really didn't really know even how to set up a language program or how to get training or anything. So we really worked on that kind of work as well. And as I said, it continues today. A lot of the teachers that went through the program are teaching today. Some of them have become more linguists than teachers and have done really amazing documentation work as well. So after Onaldi, Carl Downing retired, and Akira really couldn't find another sponsor in state, and so things didn't really happen for a while. And then Greg Bigler, who was a Yuchi attorney, is a Yuchi attorney, and was a language co-instructor in his own community, went up to KU and talked to Akira about starting something else in the state. But he pointed out the problem with the diversity in Oklahoma, that a month-long workshop or month-long classes was really hard because people's ceremonies were at different months. June cut out all of the Osage and Ponca, later June and July, cut out all the Creek and the Yuchi, and we couldn't really find a really good time. And so they decided to start the Oklahoma Native Language Association and do training that was not as systematic in one consolidated time, but moved around the state and did in shorter periods of time. This is the Oklahoma Declaration of Purpose, just to show you that it really was started to really do teacher training to create a network of language teachers and advocates in the state. ONLAW has not just served Oklahoma. We have an ongoing service and relationship with the tribes from other states. In particular, the Omaha have come down many times. The Prairie Band Potawatomi, Mississippi Band of Choctaw, and we've really done a lot with the Brookhaven College teachers in Texas. So. Okay, the early ONLAW workshops were really sporadic. The first one was actually in 1997. We also did a couple workshops for specific tribes that asked us to come to talk specifically about their languages, doing linguistics for Sauk in this case. And so we did a couple of those, but it really wasn't very systematic. It kind of settled into a pattern that we had every fall the ONLAW annual conference. And in that conference, we always had a guest speaker who gave a keynote and a workshop on immersion focus, shorter talks from teachers to sharing teacher tips from people from within the ONLAW membership, and then a grammar workshop and materials development by what became known as the ONLAW teaching team, which I have the names later on, which we'll get to. But so this is just one of the guest speakers, which is Jenny DeGroat. We've also had Phil Cash. Leanne, did you come? I don't think so, but we had Nancy Richardson. We've had just about everybody. Sheila Nicholas. Yeah, we just had just about everybody. I think I have a good picture of Jenny laughing here as well. Always fun as well, the workshops are. Here's a couple pictures of shorter talks from elders, and this is a Mississippi band. Chakda did a puppet show as well. Technology workshops. Jan Womavoya, who is a Comanche, taught at Comanche Nation College, doing a workshop. I love those pictures. The Unla teaching team really, again, kind of followed that mentoring idea to make linguistics understandable and immediately applicable. We were able to focus our examples on the participating languages, and then we'd break out into sessions, and we'd be able to help mentoring that way. It was really Akira and Kimiko and his students for a lot of it, Marcellino, me, Lizette, Tracy Harada-Eds, who's here, Brad Montgomery Anderson, and Phyllis Fife, who's a PhD in education at NSU. She would do the education classes, she and Lizette. And again, the idea of place, Onlo has always been held in Indian-run facilities. Most of the annual conferences have been at a Methodist district conference in Preston, Oklahoma, where people would stay in camp houses, so it was cheap. If you didn't have any money, it didn't cost you anything, except for we would recoup a little bit of money for the food. We'd have Indian cooks. The last year, and it was held at Chickasaw Nation in Ada, Oklahoma. So again, it's really been comfortable, and oh, that's another one. Pila and his Wilson and his family came down one year. Really forged close community and network outside of the meetings, and people felt really free to discuss language and issues that probably they wouldn't have felt comfortable if we were in a university setting or a hotel in downtown Oklahoma City or something like that. So we had some other money that Akira got from the Ford Foundation seminars in 2002. And these again allowed us to offer a series of seminars that were graded that we could build from one seminar to the next one, and students could get 6 hours of graduate or undergraduate credit. This time the credit came from Northeastern State University in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So again, ONLA has worked with different universities throughout the state. Okay. And they also did a teaching demonstration, again, a focus of it. It was kind of a movable feast, even this one. To accommodate the diverse tribal ceremonial cycles, even for this, we had a series of 5 2-day Friday, Saturday workshops instead of the month-long classes. And it really didn't cause that much problem. We made up for it by amazing participation. We had email at that time. Now it would be even easier because there's things like D2L, you know, and these online classroom kinds of things that we could do. And we also, because of the state, the people came from different areas, we held it in different places throughout the state. So not one tribal group was burdened with the travel. So we had it in many different locations. And the outcome for the four seminars is that even though it was kind of spread out, the students read two texts, textbooks. They made a portfolio with all of these things in it, and then they also had their public teaching demonstration as well, and those things went really well. So. And then we also have an annual workshop at NSU, and this is kind of in the spring, so we always have a fall and a spring seminar, and it's part of the Symposium of the American Indian, and students can take 2 hours of education credit for that. And here's a picture of Candessa.
What is NSU?
Northeastern State University in Tahlequah, in the northeastern part of the state. It's in Cherokee country. So, yeah. Okay. This is yours.
Well, as the incoming president of ONLA, you know, I'm part of a generation that's a little bit younger. It's the way that I came into the organization, hearing about what the organization meant to people. Whenever the organization first started, they talk about the organization as though it were a saving grace for native language teachers in the state who had such limited resources and didn't realize there were other people out in the state and in other parts of the country who were fighting the same battles that they're fighting in their classrooms, in their homes, and in their communities. So ONLA is... it's not only the flagship organization for native languages in the state, it's the only organization for native languages in the state. And it serves a really important function as far as teacher training goes. It's also a grassroots organization, something that Mary spoke about, you know, the location of the area where we have our trainings. We try to make it an area where you can bathe in the language, all the languages. One of the events that we have during the two-day conference or the two-and-a-half-day conference is an English-free lunch. And it's really interesting to sit at a table with somebody who is non-native, who's using Spanish to try and communicate with you, and you're using Cherokee to try to communicate with them, and somebody else is using Creek, and then somebody else is just sitting there taking notes and using sign language to try and understand all three of you. So, you know, in a hugely multilingual place like Oklahoma, which has historically been multilingual, even though an English-only referendum was just passed in the state, things like that are really important events to underline the prestige of endangered languages in the state and just to increase their importance and their visibility. Although we are a grassroots organization, there are some efforts, there are some suggestions that we incorporate as a 501c3 or that we attach to a local university for a little bit more stability. And those things are still being discussed within the membership. No final decisions have been made at this time. Also, as a function of being a very grassroots organization, you know, we don't want to charge a lot of money for our teacher trainings because a lot of programs in the state don't have any money. There are a lot of programs in the state that are just trying to keep their lights on. You know, there was one program for a time period. They had $1 on their budget line, and that was supposed to last them for the rest of the fiscal year. So, you know, with a program like that, they don't have the ability to pay for teacher trainings. Mm-hmm. So UNLAW is, and it has been described to me from people in the membership as a godsend. So with that kind of, with all those variables in play, trying to put together a website can be challenging at times. But it's definitely something that is going to happen during my presidency. I've made that commitment. It was one of my campaign pledges, and I'm going to make it happen. Another item that we really want to address is growing our membership, because right now, people in my generation, I see this in my discipline of anthropology. I see it whenever I speak to people who label themselves as feminist scholars as well. There's sort of a sense of complacency because of the great trail that was blazed ahead of us by people like Lucille Wadahamaji and Ophelia Zepeda and Mary and Leanne Hinton, and all of these people who work together to create this coalition, this network of language revitalization scholars, advocates, and activists. People in my generation kind of see what's already out there as something that's just there. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, so trying to motivate our younger generation to feel the urgency of our mission is something that I think we need to get a little bit better about within, I know, my home state of Oklahoma. And I think that bringing more youth into UNLAW, into language revitalization, into language learning, into language education is the key to the future of the discipline itself and to Oklahoma native languages. We're definitely going to continue all current initiatives. The UNLAW teaching team has been invaluable in service of teacher training and to the organization itself. We've been very, very fortunate to have very, very wonderful people as a part of the organization, and we definitely want to continue those relationships. Something that is very exciting that the Oklahoma Native Language Association is a part of, along with ALDI, is the Consortium of Indigenous Language Organizations. And the way you would pronounce the acronym is CELO. The organizations that are a part of that are the Indigenous Language Institute, the Advocates for Indigenous California Language Survival, the American Indian Language Development Institute, as Ophelia mentioned, and then Oklahoma Native Language Association. As part of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation grant, these organizations are partnering in a project called Language Immersion for Native Children. It's a flagship project anchored in the conviction that the transmission of language is most effective for infants and children of young ages during their formative years, and the most natural transmission occurs when they are immersed in the language every day and everywhere. For more information, I know you can speak to Ophelia, you can speak to Leanne, and I, if you ask me, I'll probably refer you to them. CELO's mission: to provide training for Indigenous teachers, parents, and advocates of language revitalization to assist them in their quest for the survival and renewed intergenerational transmission of their endangered languages. I think that this is a really exciting initiative, and any information that you would like to request, or if you would like to address, you may attend workshops offered at designated sites. Ophelia mentioned the one that's going to follow the ALDI Institute this summer, the immersion training A to Z, and there's a website and an email address for more information. And Wadong Gali Alijisi, thank you for listening.
Thank you. So as I've